And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is February 20th, 2018, 5:15 p.m. My name is Terry Tackett, and this is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. And it is my pleasure to introduce a new show this evening. The name of the show is The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of community Christian fellowship. And I'm pleasured to be joined by the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How about you?
Well, I'm excited about this.
Yes.
I think we're going to have some fun here and do some insightful things and certainly some community ideas and things going on. I'm really interested in doing a lot of current events and things that are currently going on. And obviously, as a pastor, most things I have a biblical perspective on. And just look forward to that.
And joining Pastor Whitaker today will be none other than our very own Scott Spears. Hello, Scott.
I'm excited to be along for the ride tonight on the inaugural program today. Good. So we'll see what we can get in. We were having a good discussion before we went on the air, so hopefully it'll continue on now.
You know, I wonder if we should have just taped that discussion.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was a good discussion.
I look forward to talking to everyone and trying to be as informative as I can be. We all have different views and different opinions on things, and we are all so emotionally involved in what goes on in our community and the world and the things around us. And I would be amiss to say that people aren't concerned about things going on in our culture today. And one of those things that's been going on lately that we've really had our minds on, of course, has not just been the...
Are we going to call already?
Oh, no, no. I got to tell you, 740-383-9944 is the number. If you do want to call in at any time and add to the discussion, it's 740-383-9944. Sorry, Scott, I forgot that.
I was trying to read that hand language over there.
I was just wondering if we were taking calls.
Oh, yeah, we can. Okay. Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
But we had the situation where the... police officers lost their lives in Westerville. And what a tragedy that was, and certainly for the community and the families. And but then we were really shocked also with the students that were killed in Florida. And that's been on everyone's mind. And I noticed that lately on social media, I spend some time on social media. I like to use it as a point of encouragement to encourage people. I take a lot of prayer requests and pray for people on social media also. But you notice all these posts that pop up, and people have such strong opinions about what shouldn't have been done or what should have been done. They have opinions about gun control or no gun control or the Second Amendment or why people didn't talk sooner or act sooner. And you get all these opinions going on, and they're all really strong. But I'd kind of like to back up a little bit tonight and kind of look at how did we get there to begin with.
You know, something that I find interesting, and this will sound like it has to do with everything you just said, but I'm going to, in the end, bring it back to how you ended. In this country, it's kind of interesting. In the state of Ohio, we'll even centralize it to this point, you have to be 16 to drive a car. You have to be 18 to gamble. You have to be 21 if you want to buy alcohol. And in the state of Ohio, not in all states, but in the state of Ohio, you can't drive a car if you don't have car insurance. You can't walk into a gas station and buy a lottery ticket. You can scratch it, but you can't go in and buy it. And I guess you can drink alcohol, but you can't walk in the store and have somebody sell it to you. Now, these are laws. These are laws that people can arrest and fine you on. So, at their discretion. Now, why that's interesting to me when it comes to the gun question is why did we put these laws in place? Because the question of gun control and those discussions we see on Facebook always seems to revolve around the idea of we need to do something different. We need to do something different. And the phrase is, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that applies to alcohol. I think that applies to cars. I think Absolutely. That applies to gambling. But we don't apply that to guns. Now, something has to be going on in your life prior. I think we have these restrictions age-wise. Because when you really think about it, honestly, if a 16-year-old gambled, is that a whole lot different than an 18-year-old?
Probably not.
Probably not. So we put those in there just to say we don't want 10-year-olds doing this. We don't want 11-year-olds.
Right, right.
But with this gun issue, doesn't seem to be the case, and I'm not sure the reason. What are your thoughts on that?
You mean that we don't want 10-year-olds using guns?
Well, I think we don't. We just don't want the law telling us that.
Okay. You know, I'll give you, you know, this was, I don't want this show to go into gun control.
Right, I understand.
That's not my subject tonight.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting. The difference in the issue is this, is that it probably goes back to our country's history and how people started out eating food and hunting. And it was, you know, 50 years ago, it was part of every young boy's life to go out hunting with his father. I started with a BB gun when I was probably 10 years old and immediately got in trouble with a BB gun. But the point being that they feel that responsible gun ownership starts at a very young age and teaching kids to be responsible with them. I remember, this is interesting, some people won't believe this, but a lot of people will remember this also, that are my age or older. When I was in high school, I had a little 410 shotgun, and my friends and I would all go hunting after school. Well, I would take it on the school bus and put it in my locker, and at the end of the day, I'd go home with my friends and hunt. And that was normal. And it was normal because no one ever shot anybody. And it was part of culture. Now, our culture's changed. So there's something certainly different about that. Today, you're not going to take a 410 shotgun into school. You know, there's going to be a lot of alarms going off. But the point is, it's not a the reason I don't want to get into the gun control issue is because I just don't really feel that it's the driving force behind what's going on in our country and with young people. And I think that, you know, I read a statistic the other day that they're wanting to limit types of rifles. There were more people killed in America by knives last year than rifles. And we're not wanting to take knives away. And you hear those back and forth. And I'm not going to defend either side of that right now. That's what I'm here to do. But what I want to talk about is what happens to a young man that is so disconnected, so without hope, so distraught that he decides to take out all these students. And in most cases, now not in his case, but in most cases, they also kill themselves. And I know people want to blame video games. It's interesting. Today I had an opportunity to talk to a couple of teenagers, and I said, I'm going to be on the show tonight. Give me some perspective on your end, because I've been talking with teens about this all the time. I've always spent time working with a lot of teens, whether it's on judging teams with school districts or as a 4-H advisor or a FCA advisor or youth group leader. I've always been involved with the kids, and I love their opinion. They have a lot to tell us. But I said, what do you think about the violent video games? And one boy looked at me and he said, look, he said, I did all that stuff when I was younger. I was into video games. He said, I'd never think of doing something like that. You know, I don't even play video games anymore. So what's the difference between a young person that is highly affected by that kind of stuff and somebody that of course, is, it doesn't seem to affect? Well, it goes back to a lot of things. And I'm going to bring up a biblical passage. It says in Scripture to train up a child in the ways that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, whether you believe in the Bible or not, I think that's something you can probably agree with. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it also talked about that they were to take the law and they were to put it all through their house, have it on their frontlet, so their forehead, over their doorpost, and they were to walk in it and talk in it and teach it. And what I'm trying to get and what I'm going back to is this, is that we have a huge breakdown in the home that we haven't seen in years. I heard an older guy give a message the other day, and it kind of tickled me. He was in his, he was about 90. And he said, you know, he said, I was a young man before I ever met someone that had been divorced. And I understand we have divorce in this country. I'm certainly not disparaging divorced people. But what I'm saying is that at some point, we have to look at our young people. these children that we give birth to, and we have to say, you know what, this is my number one priority with my spouse or with whoever or by myself as a single parent until the day that this child is raised. I had a man one time come to me and he said, Pastor, he said, can you please pray for my family? He said, the school called today and my son's been cutting himself. These kids have just been a mess lately. He had two boys. And I'll tell you what happened. They had gone through a really rough divorce a couple years earlier. And I think she got remarried, and he was on a dating spree. You know, guys will go out and they'll just, you know, they don't want to settle down. And the boys were left with someone every weekend and they were having problems. And I just told him this. I said, look, I said, I want you to understand something. You've got about another 5 or 6 years till these boys are raised or are going to be leaving your home. I said, you can either take the next 5 or 6 years and pour your life into these boys and forget about women. I said, women are going to be there down the road. I said, trust me, they're not going anywhere. Put it into those boys and be proud of those boys in 5 years, where you can do what you're continuing to do and regret it the rest of your life. And one of the few times someone actually listened to me, he did exactly what I said, and I want to tell you something. He's got two fine young men today. And what happens is, with these young people, is that so many of them, they're hurting on the inside. They're hurting constantly. Parents, I have to tell you out there, I understand that we have relationships. I understand that we want relationships. I understand that we want our needs fulfilled. But when you've taken on the responsibility of these children, their welfare has to come first. Now, here we have a young man that... I don't believe he had a father, if I'm not mistaken. His mother died 3 months ago. He had been in a lot of trouble. Obviously, it was not the best home situation. I lost a parent when I was, my father was killed when I was 13. I know the devastation that causes and how it hurts. I know how rebellious I got through that period of time. What I'm getting at is this. Someone's got to start recognizing that there's some intervention that needs to be. Now, trust me, I am not going to blame the schools. You know, working in the school system as I have, I see what the teachers go through. Too many times today, our school teachers are expected to not only be school teacher, but mom and dad too. And it used to be, you know, if my parents got a phone call from a school teacher, my little bottom got fired up when I got home. Many times today, the majority of the time when you call a parent today, you get cussed out. And there's no accountability there. And we have to start being accountable across the board with raising our children, understanding their needs, recognizing that there may be something wrong early on, getting them the help that they need early on before they get to a point. You know, by the time these kids get to be middle school age, it's going to be a long road back if they're in a bad place. I mean, there's so much damage that's already done. And we've got to start reaching them earlier. Parents, I want to tell you something that you may think that I'm old-fashioned in this. Get your kids in church and Sunday school. And I'm saying that because, you know, we've lost the structure in our country. I mean, they're going to learn good values. Whether or not initially take them because you believe in what's going on or not, they're going to learn solid values. And I've heard so many times the argument, well, I was raised in church and I this or I, you know, it's an excuse. It's kind of interesting. A lady told me one time, I asked about bringing her son to church because he was starting in a little trouble. She said, I'm not going to force religion down his throat. But she forced drugs down his throat within a few years. And he's not living today. You know, if you want the world to raise your kids, it will. It'll gladly raise your kids without your input. And I find it interesting that parents don't want to make their kids go to Sunday school or make them be responsible in that form or give them that structure. But the same parent will say, you signed up for softball, and you are not missing a practice, and you're not doing that to the coach. You made a commitment. Now you're doing it. And sports is a great thing. Sports gives kids structure, all those things. But let's get them involved in other things, too, that have positive things. There's so many programs out there. 4-H is a wonderful thing. You know, there's so many things out there that can guide, help guide these kids. Mom, if you're out there, or dad, and you don't have someone else in the home to help you, and you can get them into Sunday school or any of these programs, trust me, in this society, it can't hurt. It can only help. And even if another aspect of that is someone else is going to help recognize problems with a child coming along and maybe be able to curb some of this stuff. We've just got to decide that we're going to be proactive with these young people. They're too precious not to be. Weekend comes up, Mom and Dad. I know you want to go out and have a great time and maybe go out on a date or do whatever, but I got to tell you something. Those kids need you. Don't leave them at home all weekend. And watch what they're watching on TV. Pay attention. Start to look for those signs of what they need. If they ask you for help with homework, stop what you're doing and help them with their homework. Because the last thing they need to do is go to school the next day and be petrified because when the teacher calls on them, they're going to look stupid. And we shouldn't expect, you wouldn't want to feel that way at work. You know, why do you want these kids to go to that school? Now, we've got great parents out there. We've got great parents out there, and kids still go awry, and these things happen. And that's where it's up to all of us to come together as a family in this country. We were just having a bit of a political discussion a few minutes ago, and I had said that, you know, we're a nation of people that are supposed to care about each other and come together for our common good and quit fighting these issues to fight over. It's the same thing with our children. We need to help support our schools. We need to help support our churches, the people that want to do things, the clubs, the programs. There's so many out there. And what's interesting is most of these programs are being operated by people that do not get a dime. They're there because for the greater good of helping these children. So why not bring your kids and let them come to that? We have a program at church on Thursdays called Team Kid, where anyone in the neighborhood can bring their kids in at 6:30, ends at 8 o'clock in the evening. And the ladies have a story time, the kids have snack, it's a great program. The building should be packed, don't you think?
You would think.
And if nothing else, drop the kids off so you can go run an errand without, you know, there's nothing wrong. We don't mind being used as a babysitting service. Watch your kids while you're gone. But, you know, that's what we do, and we care to do that. And the next aspect I want to talk about is this. Another question that I had asked the young people was, when you have a student in your school that obviously is one of those kids, like they said of this young man at in Florida, that all the kids looked at him and said, yep, he's going to be a shooter. I mean, and if you talk to any kids in school, there's usually been a kid in your school sometime that you look at them and think, man, that could be the kind of person is. Usually they're a loner. They stay back. They may dress in a certain way that they want to show you. They want to be pulled back. They're not socially active with everyone else. You get the picture of how it's coming along. And so I asked the kids today, and I was talking to them, and I asked a question, and they both kind of said, well, how do you react to that person? We just stay away from them. And I said, now, wait a minute. Think about something. I said, if you knew that person's background, okay, they're weird, right? They're not someone that you want to hang around with. They're someone that, you know, you just want to distance yourself. I said, but what if you knew their background? You know, what if you knew that they had been horribly abused as a young person? What if you knew that there was no one in the home supplying the needs that you get every day? Maybe they don't have soap in their bathroom. Maybe they don't have water on in their house. Maybe there's never electricity. Maybe they're getting beat on a regular basis. Maybe there's sexual abuse. Bottom line is, you don't know. And so before we prejudge them as just being some loon that we need to stay away from, how about we show them some love? And I said, I'm not saying that you need to start running around with them and making them your best buddy and getting into the same things they're getting into. But what's wrong with walking up to a kid and saying, hey, how you doing today? Start with that. A smile on your face and how you doing? Doing okay today? Or, you notice it, you seem like something's bothering you. Is there, you ever want to talk? I'm glad to talk to you. The bottom line is, let these people know that somebody cares, because they may never in their life have ever known anyone that cared. And yeah, they're probably going to be suspect of you to begin with. But what if, just what if, that one kind word that you said prevented them from shooting up an entire school because you pierced that hatred? You pierce that despair, you pierce that fear. And this is something we all can do. Every one of us can do it. Teachers can do it. You can do it in the workplace. You know, what's sad in our world today, if you're too nice, people think you're weird anyway. You know, I have a real problem in that I love everybody. I grew up in a family of huggers. You know what I mean? And so you got to watch that aspect today. Someone's going to think you're weird. But, I mean, as adults, you see a kid and, you know, open the door for a kid once in a while. Wouldn't that be weird? Or say, how are you today? Or it's nice out today, isn't it? And don't stay there and keep talking, you know. But you see what I mean? Try to look into what's going on with people. You hear something at the neighbors going on. Maybe you need to pay attention to a bit of that. You know, you see a kid with bruises that maybe should. Maybe we need to look into that a little further. I talked to a young man a couple years ago that was kind of one of those pariah kids at school. And he informed me that he lived with his mom and his stepdad till he was 12. That's when he ran away. And he ran away because of physical and sexual abuse by his stepfather. He lived on the road at 12 years old till he was 14. He lived on the streets. At that point, he was picked up by the police for being a truant, and found his biological father and sent him back. Now, oddly enough, this kid had a pretty good attitude. But a lot of people can't handle that. He still had a lot of issues, don't get me wrong. But we don't know where people come from. And everyone deserves love, especially in the church. I mean, isn't that what we teach? You know, the greatest commandment was love, and we need to love people, even if we don't agree with them. Even if we don't agree with them politically, spiritually, physically, whatever it is, we need to quit dividing ourselves up and having hatred in what we think and how we look. We need to quit categorizing people so much. I think that it's very hard not to stereotype. Would you agree? Mm. Everyone says that we shouldn't, but we all do. You're going to stereotype certain people. We got to get around some of the stereotypes and let people know that, you know, we truly do care about them. Even if we're never going to do what they're going to do, even if we believe that our answer is the right way, which I certainly do as a Christian, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to make our lives whole. And that's what I firmly believe. And I wish that for every young person I know. But if they're not going to agree with me, I'm not going to stop loving them. I'm not going to stop trying to help them and kick them to the curb and say, you know, there you go. But somewhere in this country, we've got to decide that we're going to pick up personal responsibility for our own children. Parents, I have to tell you something. If your kids are going home with someone this weekend, for the night, for the weekend, it is your duty to find out and make sure that that family hold very similar values as you do when it comes to their children. Because many times kids go home with a family and get exposed to things you would never even believe of. And you think everything's fine because it's a friend at school. We have to start being proactive. Where are our kids? Who are they hanging out with? What are they allowed to do when they're there that maybe they're not allowed to do at my house? Are your kids acting differently? Are they starting to pull away? These are all things that we look at. But I want to say this. Parents, if you just love your kids dearly, it'll cover a world of wrong. It used to be, you know, when kids were bullied at school, they may go home to a loving family, and that would kind of counteract that bullying. I got bullied in school. I was a little rascal. I got bullied. I learned to get tough. But a lot of kids don't. But today what is happening, a lot of kids are getting bullied at school. And they're going home getting bullied at home. And then when they do something tragic, they just want to blame the bully at school. The problem is they're not getting that love and nurturing at home either. And we have to begin to put that first. Sunday morning, you know, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have wonderful teachers that just love these kids, do things with them, want to teach them, show them they care. Parents say, oh, I can't get up that early. Let me tell you something. If they got an 8 o'clock ball game, they're there. If there's some place they want to go fishing with a friend, they're there. They're headed to a concert, they're there. Now, nothing wrong with any of those things, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is we got to start, quit making excuses and start making decisions. How much time am I going to give my child a week? And the thing is, it's not difficult once you start doing it. You start seeing the results and then you feel better, right? You know, I ask you, Scott, did, you know, growing up, did your parents spend much time with you? You seem to be a pretty well-rounded guy.
Yeah, they did. But you know what, when you were saying that, what I was thinking about was the culture in general has shifted. And I wonder if that has something to do with it. Because certainly when we look at what happened last week in the school shooting, and every shooting and every case where somebody commits suicide, something awful happens. When I look at schools, when I was thinking back to when I was in school, my elementary school teachers were mostly, I'm going to say 80%, ladies who were over the age of 40. And they dressed conservatively.
Yes.
I don't know where those people are today.
Those old black shoes.
The black shoes. Yeah, and the permed hair. Yes, and they exactly. wore skirts.
I don't know, though. I had a fifth grade teacher that, Mrs. Holzer, man, I had a crush on her. I still remember her name.
Well, there was a teacher that you thought, boy, that's, but by and large, they were older ladies, and they had, a lot of times, they were grandmothers, and they stayed in that profession, they liked that profession, and they had grown up, a lot of those people, now that I think about it, probably were in one-room schoolhouses when they started school.
Yes.
And the parents have to be a part of, without question. But in a given school day, 180 days a year, you're with the school more as much as you are with your parent.
Yes, you are.
More. In extracurriculars, you throw those in. And then you have this idea now of bullying. Now, yeah, honestly, I can't remember being bullied. I must have been lucky. I'm sure somebody said something nasty about me along the way, but it wasn't a constant. But what I do notice now is when somebody says something about you, it used to be you only had to worry about maybe the 90 kids in your grade knowing, because they had to know what the person was saying and they had to know you for it to mean anything. Now you put it on the internet and everybody in the school knows, the town knows, everybody knows. And those teachers, who I had been hugged by teachers in elementary school, and your mother and father wouldn't think anything of that.
No, they would not.
But now, I guarantee you would subconsciously, if you were seeing, and I'm not condemning the teaching profession, that's what I went to college to be, and I still go back and sub. If you hugged a female teacher now, I can't think of one grandmotherly figure I've run into in the schools. I don't know where they all went. I don't know.
Good question. I don't know. I've got 13 grandchildren, and I'm a hugger. And it's important. And I know teachers that still will hug a child. You got to be careful in the way you hug today. You know, most hugs are from the side. They're not face on. And an arm around the shoulder, and kids can appreciate that and get that too. You got to be careful in that way. But that physical touch is extremely important. It's important to them because they need to know someone cares about them. You know, I told you about Mrs. Holzer, the teacher I thought was so neat. That year I was in 3 fifth grades, and my third teacher was Mrs. O'Day, and she was one of the grandmotherly older ladies. She was a widow, farmer, and I used to love to go to her house, and she loved to hug. And that was important to me at that time. It was right after that I lost my father, and first our house burnt down. It was a whale of a year. But those things are so important. And as far as social media goes, you know, this is something else that is kind of a pet peeve of mine. I understand that parents say, you ask your kids why they have this telephone or iPhone or whatever they have, and they'll say, well, I need to be able to get a hold of my child. I've got to tell you something, Mom and Dad. They can do that with a flip phone. And I firmly believe that if you need to get a hold of your kids at school, you can call the office. And I think that I think the schools are making a huge mistake today by allowing kids to even have cell phones at school. That's where most of your bullying takes place. That's where most of your pornography takes place. That's where most of your, and I've looked over kids' shoulders. I see what they're looking at on their phones, you know, and that's where all that stuff takes place. That's where all the, and I'm just telling you, you know, why in your world are your kids even carrying these things? I don't get it. Now, when you get to be a junior or senior in high school, I can see that in high school, but I see kids in elementary school having phones that I can't even afford and use. And they can do anything in the world on it. And Mom and Dad thinks it's great. You know why? Two reasons. One, it shuts them up. They quit whining for it. And two, it babysits them. And that's a huge one. Half the problem with our young people today is they go to their bedroom and turn on a computer. No one sees them the rest of the night. The family's not seeing what they're doing. They're out of your hair, so it's not bothering you, right? Whatever happened to coming home, sitting down to dinner, spending time with the family, doing your homework. You know, okay, Pastor Steve, you're sounding really old-fashioned now, aren't you? Now I have to ask a question. What's wrong with that?
That, you know, it's interesting. Radio is a great way to learn and can be a great teacher. Earlier on, we had a call-in. I was doing my afternoon show. And I think we even talked about this on the phone yesterday. It stemmed from this statement. When I read something on the internet, when somebody tells me something, when I read something about a third party that's malicious, I have to wonder why you did that. Now, I'm not saying it's not true. It might be true. Very well could be. But why did I go out of my way to disparage that person? What did that give me? You know, that is very strange. We've always had gossips in corners, and even those old teachers, I'm sure, had coffee klatches in the teacher's lounge. But there is something very different about society now that I'm going to tell you about Betty. And I'm going to tell you that Betty is awful. And I'm going to tell you why Betty's awful. And maybe Betty is awful. But why do I have to tell you that?
I think I can offer some opinion on that. And I think it's because we are a society that most people don't walk around with a lot of hope. And most people aren't real happy with themselves, with their lives. And for some odd reason, it is makes us maybe feel better about ourselves to disparage someone else, because then maybe we're not so bad. We are, and I've heard this said by many people that work with young people, our culture today is missing the word hope. And they truly are. I mean, these kids, the amount of teen suicides, I can't even believe. And most of them are between 18 and 22. In other words, they have some purpose in school. Maybe they're involved in something. They get out of school, and all of a sudden, there's no more trophies for everything we do. They're not being taken care of, and they think, what am I going to do? Well, I'm done. I can't. We're not giving our kids the building blocks that we used to. We're not giving them a solid foundation. And you know, they need to believe in something, and they don't have anything to believe in. They've been taught in school that there's, you know, the Bible's not true. So that stuff, that we're old-fashioned, and that, that, you know, we're just old traditional people, that we got to get past that. So, you know, they don't grab a hold of that. And you know, I'm sorry, you know, I believe that, that any belief system that teaches good values, while I believe there's only one true, and I will say this, that that anything that parents are involved in with their children that teach positive values, that give them a solid base, gives them something to stand on and hope down the road. You know, with me, I went through some very difficult times in my life, and I always knew something, that tomorrow was always a different day, and that there nothing was ever bad enough that I wanted it to end right now. Maybe I want those feelings to end right now. You know, when a girlfriend breaks up with you and your heart's crushed, you just, oh, you can't stand the pain. But there's tomorrow. And the problem is with a lot of young people today is they're not seeing tomorrow.
You know, and this is where society, I don't quite understand. This is not a political statement. It's just, I'm sure a lot of listeners, and I'm sure you will remember this, and Terry as well. Do you remember when you may have known who your local politicians were? You probably knew who the president was, and you probably knew who some, you may have known some big name politicians. But remember when somebody used to say, if you would have the occasional disparaging remark, you'd say, well, I don't like that person, politician. And remember when you used to say, if they didn't know what they were doing, they wouldn't be there. Boy, we don't say that anymore.
No, we don't.
They don't know what they're doing. That's what, and that's strange, because that was just, it's what you'd say. Mm-hmm. That's what your mom and dad, if they didn't know what they were doing, they wouldn't be there. You had trust.
You had trust, and I think that you had trust in our schools. You had trust in, the problem isn't that our schools don't deserve trust, or our churches don't deserve trust. No one trusts anyone or anything anymore. And a lot of times, and I don't want to beat up on the media, but a lot of times, you know, when there's negative news, it's out there. You know, you've got 10 million churches out there, and they're doing wonderful things, but let one youth pastor do something he shouldn't with a young lady, and the whole church gets tarred with it. Let one school teacher have an affair with a student, and the whole school system gets tarred with it. And we're always gonna have that go on in society. But we live in a day and age where there's so much more media. It used to just be radio and television and newspaper. Now, because of social media, it's out there now, and it's everywhere. And because our kids have the social media in their hands, it's there too.
Well, maybe, you know, this might be partially because I'm a media person for a while, but I think partially this is just a citizen, a human being, is that one thing that radio and television and newspapers had going for them, you knew the difference between Walter Cronkite and Entertainment Tonight.
Yes.
You knew
yes.
the difference between the New York Times and the National Enquirer.
Well, some people did.
Some people did. So they bought them, but you know they'd laugh at them over here, and some people just bought them to laugh.
I was taught as a kid in the store, you don't even look at them.
You don't even look at them.
You walk right by.
Because they're provocative.
Yeah.
They're trying to catch you. Now, the internet is not set up that way.
No, it's not.
You don't know what is phony baloney and what is true. Radio, television, and internet, or newspapers, we do editorialize a lot. There's no doubt about it. More than we used to, because there's more time to fill. But by and large, I can't say a bad word now because we have journalistic standards.
Right.
Internet has none.
None at all. And the you know, they have the site, I forget what it's called on there, where you can check the truthfulness.
Snopes.
And I want to tell you guys right there, well, I don't care what you believe on what side of the political spectrum you are, or what you want to believe or don't want to believe, 90% of the stuff out there that's derogatory, whether it's against Republicans, Democrats, Hollywood, whatever it is false.
Isn't that an interesting tie-in? We went from people in your own community to the media, but what you just said is exactly right. Snopes, 90% wrong. Back to the malicious comment about Jody over here in the school,
mm-hmm.
probably is wrong. But why are we pushing in the media, on the internet. I don't want to say that, because I don't think the general media is doing that so much. On the internet and in communities, why are we so heavily want to tell you about how bad person C is?
Because it gets people to pay attention. We've gotten to a point in our country we feel so badly about ourselves that it makes us feel better to feel badly about others. And unfortunately, we've got to turn this thing around. I'm going to talk a little bit. We're getting to the end of our time. I'm going to talk a little bit over the next several weeks about some ways that we can begin to get back where we're, back where we're supposed to be. I'm not a fatalist. You know, a lot of these people say, oh, everything's coming in, you know, everything's going somewhere in a handbasket. You know how it is. You know, the world's coming. I firmly believe, you know, God says that if his people will pay attention and do what they're called to do, that he'll heal their land. And I firmly believe that if we, and I'm going to pick on Christians first, I am one. As Christians, if we do what we're called to do, rather than just sitting back in our pews and feeling good about ourselves, it's a start right there. And I think that we've got to start loving people and getting outside of our churches and doing it and showing people that we do care and there is care and love out there in the world. And I do believe it'll multiply. Do you realize that all I got to do is show one person love a week, and that's one person that saw it, another one, then there's two, there's three. Can you imagine if every one of us did that?
Two things I want to make, because this hour has flown by. The title of the book that I like the best is Hope Dies Last. Now, that book is about a lot of different things, but I love that Hope Dies Last, because I do think that's true. Years ago, I was reading a book, and it was about Bill Cosby. Everybody knows Bill Cosby. But the book was interesting. He said he was a young comedian. He was growing up, and he was hugely popular in the cities he was in. And one night, he got into the most popular club in town, and he went out on stage, and he bombed. Just bombed. Horrible. Nobody laughed, because he was nervous. So he goes back to the dressing room, and the guy had hired him for a week of shows. And he says, oh, this is awful. And the guy came knocking on his door, and he knew he would, the owner of the club. And the guy said, that was awful. That was just horrible. You know, it was awful. I mean, what were you doing out there? And Bill Cosby said, I know. You know, he was ready to crawl out of there, give the money back, and just get out. And he said, you're fired. You're fired. Don't come back. And before the club owner left room, he said, make sure Bill Cosby comes in tomorrow. Don't send that guy back in who was here before. And he came back, and he was a success.
There you go.
I thought that was fascinating.
Absolutely. And you know, I want you to understand, we're about wrapping up on time here. There's real hope out there. And I firmly believe we've got to start stepping up and taking our own personal responsibility for our brothers and sisters around us. We truly do. And I think that's where you're going to fix this problem. It's not with chewing out the FBI. It's not with going after gun. I mean, look, it's just not. We've got to get to the root of the problem. And I think that we can do that through love. As mushy as that sounds, it's true. And, you know, I look forward to coming back again next week. We'll be on again. We're going to replay when?
We'll replay every Wednesday at 3:10 to 4 o'clock.
So if you enjoyed this program and you'd like someone, a loved one or someone to listen to it, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, it's going to replay again. I'll be back next week, and it's been great to get to know you. Once again, we're a Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street, and we're Sunday school 9:30, and it's Sunday school or church at 10:30. That's Prospect, Ohio. I'm Pastor Steve. Thank you, and good evening.
You're listening to WWJ.